Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earn In. Earn In is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earn In app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I'm headed on a trip to Aruba, so I had to go on a huge shopping spree for all new summer clothes, so I know that's exactly how I would use the money I got from Earn In. So make Earn In a part of your financial routine and join Earn In's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earn In, I think about financial stability, security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earn In today, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earn In app, type in "For the Girls" under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. For the Girls under podcast. Earn In is a financial technology company, not a bank. Subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. A few years ago, I got the idea that I wanted my own brand for women to sell women's clothing and lingerie, but I had no idea where to get started. But then I found Shopify. Shopify is your no excuses business partner. Sell without needing to code or design. Just bring your best ideas and Shopify will help you open up shop. One of the biggest obstacles for a first-time shop owner like me is having no e-commerce experience, but Shopify simplified everything so much that the site has become the least of my worries. From the graphic design aspect to making customer service super easy on my end, there's nothing you can't do. They give you everything you need to take control of your business, even as a beginner. Sign up now for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/forthegirls, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/forthegirls.
Settling is not an option for me.
Everything I desire is already mine.
What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we have such a great interview with Dee Okleppo Hilfiger, who is, yes, the wife of fashion icon Tommy Hilfiger, but she is very much a fashion force of her own. Dee is the creative director of Judith Lieber. She has her own namesake brand, an affordable lifestyle and accessories company, Dee Okleppo. And she has another collection coming out with apparel this fall under a new label, Dio. On top of all of that, Dee even has her own real estate business. She's on the board of many charity organizations, and she is a mother and stepmother to 7 children. Needless to say, Dee is absolutely unstoppable in her business and personal life. We talked about so many things, from age meaning nothing when it comes to going after what you want, to how to build a timeless, stylish, feminine wardrobe, to being a mother with 3 kids on the autism spectrum. So there is a lot to unpack in this conversation, and I just know you girls will very much enjoy what you hear and gain so much from her. But a quick note before we get into the conversation, I just want to let you all know that I will now be sharing Flashback Friday episodes, which means every Friday, I'll be resharing an old episode of For the Girls to refresh your memory, because I notice so often in my new episodes, I refer to old episodes when I'm giving examples or advice or just talking about something that is reoccurring and comes up in similar episodes. And I'm always like, go back and listen to this episode from a year ago, 2 years ago, soon to be 3 years ago. So I'm going to start sharing them again so that they can stay fresh in your minds and they won't always be that far back when I send you to go listen to an old episode. So if you notice old episodes coming up for you again, you're not losing it. It's just Flashback Friday. Now let's get into the interview. Welcome, Dee, to For the Girls. So excited to have you on. Introduce yourself to everyone.
Hi, everybody. I'm Dee Okleppo Hilfiger. I am a designer. I'm creative director for Judith Lieber. And I have my own namesake brand, which is called Dio Kleppo. And I am designing everything from shoes to jewelry to apparel. And I'm a mom. I'm also Tommy Hilfiger's wife. And yeah, that covers, I mean, I feel like I do a lot more than even that, but.
Yeah. Well, you do. If we were to write it all out, you would see. And I'm actually going to list some of it out as well, exactly what you just said, because when I was reading your website, you had a quote that I really liked, which it stuck out to me, and it said, like all women, my life is multifaceted and ever changing. And then, you know, I got more information on you. And as I read more, I was like, wait, that might be the truest statement anyone has ever made about themselves. Because like you said, first of all, yeah, she's a mother, but she's being humble. She has seven children. It's between her own children and stepchildren. And then, like you said, you have your own namesake brand. You are the creative director of Judith Lieber, but you're also in real estate and you do charities and nonprofits and all that. And so you have, like you said, so much going on. But the other thing was that before that, you were also a model. You don't still do modeling, or you do?
I actually do, which is kind of funny, but yes, I still do. I have an agency and I still do that too.
Wow.
And, you know, I model for my own brand and I, you know, show up on the red carpet with Tommy. So yeah, that's included.
Yeah. I did notice that when I was looking through all the websites, I'm like, wait, you are like your own model too. So that's amazing. So I want you to take us back, because, you know, being a model, I think, was more of like, that was your full-time thing back in the day. So I want to hear more about like your timeline on how one thing really led to another, because like you said, your life is ever changing. So with all of these things that you have going on now, you didn't start that way. So how did this really all come to be?
Well, you know, it's all part of my journey and my story. And I would have to say, you know, everything kind of unfolded organically. I can't say that I planned, you know, I planned everything out and it worked, perfectly out for me. I don't think anybody's life is like that. You know, what's the joke about you make a plan and God laughs at you? So, you know, I did in my 20s, I was modeling. My father insisted that I finish college before I went off to Europe to model. So I graduated from Southern Methodist University. And on graduating, when all my friends were getting jobs, I decided to go off to Europe and to model, which I did for, you know, probably about 2.5 years, maybe 3 years. And then I wound up getting married and I had 2 kids. And when I married, I was living in Europe. My first husband is Italian and we were living in Monte Carlo. And I, at that point, kind of became a full-time mom. I wasn't working. I was very happy to be a full-time mom. And I had 2 adorable kids that kept me very busy working. And after about 9 years, I would say that marriage dissolved and broke up. And then I found myself like, wow, I'm a single mom now. And as my kids were getting older and, you know, they're in school, I found myself having a lot of more free time. And I really, really at that point was craving to work again. As it happens, I wound up meeting, I think it was, the timeline is difficult to remember, but I think I was divorced for 3 years when I wound up meeting Tommy and we started dating. And then 3 years later, we got married. And, you know, obviously being with Tommy and being married to Tommy, he's working nonstop. So I started actually, like when we were first together, before, you know, I started getting into fashion, I was trading. I was like day trading, because one of the things that I did do after I stopped modeling is I was a commodities trader at Prue Beige. I don't even think, I forgot about that.
That was another lifetime.
I've had worn a lot of hats. So I was trading commodities for Prue Beige when I met my first husband. I stopped modeling. I worked that. So then I started trading again. And then eventually I got into more and more into the fashion side, being married with Tommy. And you know, it kind of, it was nothing that I planned. It's sort of, I started designing handbags in, I think, 2011. And I went to Mindy Grossman, who is at the time the head of HSN. And I had this really cute idea of having a bag that you could change covers, because I travel all the time and I don't want to pack 10 handbags that match, you know, each outfit. So she loved the idea. And we made prototypes. And that's kind of what really started my whole journey into being a fashion designer, designing bags. From there, I went into becoming creative director for Judith Lieber. And it just sort of all happened organically from there.
Yeah, it was like a seamless transition from one to the next. That is so interesting. But I do also feel like design, in a way, has to be something that comes naturally to you. Like right? Like, I feel like you had to always have something of that sort. It can't just be like, now I'm married to like a fashion powerhouse, so now I know how to design, right?
No, that's true. I mean, I have to say, from a really young, young age, I was always interested in fashion and design. I mean, I remember tearing out, you know, tear sheets. I must have been 10, I mean, 11, and, you know, having them all over my closet, like walls. And, you know, I was also into designing my room. My room was impeccable. I would tell Tommy, like, if you think I'm OCD now, Tommy, I've been this way, like, ever since I was a little girl. I used to, you know, every Saturday clean my room. My room was spotless and impeccable. And I'd have tear sheets and want my room a certain way. It's really interesting, but like from a really crazy young age.
Yeah. It is funny that you say that, because I used to do the same thing, but like specifically with like magazines. I loved like Victoria Beckham, like, you know, that like the 2000s like era. And I had them, same thing. You open my closet door, they were all inside the closet door. So that's on the outside, I had like the Jonas Brothers on there, but on the on the inside, I had like, you know, the dream like woman, the design. So I completely understand exactly what you're saying.
And it's weird, because I feel like looking back on it now, it was almost like this subliminal manifestation.
Mm-hmm. Foreshadowing.
I didn't know it at the time. You know, it's just like, you know, you open your closet, you look at all these images, and it's like going in there.
Yeah. But women are so intuitive, like even as little kids. Like, I do think that so much of who we become, if we were to look back at like home videos or pictures and reflect, we're like, wait, I have photos, you know, dressing up and whatever as a little girl, and it's so much of who I am now. Like, it just makes so much sense. So
I know. And actually, even with my kids, look, my two oldest are, you know, almost 30 years old now. So I've known them, and it's interesting, even with them, I can see they were born that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really haven't, you know, changed that much from that, like their nature and the initial who they are.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same. And like, it's incredible.
Yeah. So on that same wave, you know, you say, yes, you kind of had this like foreshadowing and manifestation, but you did start this career later on in life. So did you really like envision ever having this sort of career, or what kind of goals did you have? Was it like more just being a mother, or did you have these sort of career goals?
No, I definitely had career goals, and I definitely knew that I didn't, you know, kids grow up so fast that it's wonderful to be a mom and to be a stay-at-home mom, especially when they're young. They really need you, but, you know, they don't need you like that their whole life. And so, you know, I didn't want to be that woman that, like, you know, is an empty nester and like, now what? Now what do I do? And so I always was very, very ambitious. I always wanted to have a career. But I just didn't know exactly how it was going to unfold. So that's what I said. I mean, I think you have to be open to kind of what's in front of you, and it's not always what you planned, but it all worked out okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. So what insight or advice would you offer to women who maybe are at the stage now that you were at? So like, it is a little bit later in life, maybe whether they have kids or not, but the kids are at least older. They are maybe those empty nesters, and maybe they feel now like it's too late for me. My time has passed. What would you say to them?
I would say it's never too late, and your time is never past. And, you know, women are, there's so many incredibly smart, talented, gifted women out there that, you know, I can't buy into that at all. One woman that in my life that has really inspired me, and sadly, she just recently passed away this past year, but it was a woman named Iris Apfel. And Iris was, you know, a geriatric supermodel in her late 90s. And she was one of the most engaged, you know, women at in her 90s. Mm. And, you know, she taught me that I don't buy into that narrative that when you get older, you have to like fade into the sunset or you fade into the background because you're a certain age. I mean, you know, that's ageist. I think the next big ball to drop is, you know, we've gotten through the Me Too movement and all that. I think the next thing is going to be the ageism thing, because the population is aging. And it's not the narrative that you fade into the background. So it's never too late. I mean, I watched Iris become, you know, be the center of the fashion world at, you know, at an age where most people are retired or just forgotten. And so she proved that that is not the case.
Yeah.
I want to be like her.
Oh, I love that. You know what also kind of stands out to me a little bit with you in particular is like your interest, like you can also develop new interests, or your interests can change later on too. So maybe what you once enjoyed when you were younger is not necessarily, like you said, you did day trading, you know, when you were young. And now, you know, you got into fashion years after that. So you could also, right? I think that'd be fair to say.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
100%. Yeah. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around the weight of different stressors in life, and no matter how big or small, when we keep them bottled up, it could start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. Therapy can even be there to just empower you to be the best version of yourself, or to also help you practice setting and enforcing boundaries too. So if you've been thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists if need be at any time for no additional charge. Therapy has never been made so easy before. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/forthegirls today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/forthegirls. We're all girls here, so I think it's safe to say we all agree that we mostly look forward to going home every day simply so we could take our bras off. We wear bras because we have to, not because we want to. But today's sponsor, Honeylove, just might be the thing that changes that for you. Say goodbye to underwire and bulky fabrics that make you sweat. Honeylove has started a revolution of bras you actually want to wear. Their bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for underwire altogether without sacrificing lift. Plus, they're made with fabric that's so soft, it'll feel like a second skin and you'll forget you're even wearing it. For a limited time, only you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/forthegirls. Support my show and check them out at honeylove.com/forthegirls. I personally started wearing Honeylove over the summer and was in shock of how comfortable I felt in their bra and shapewear. I'm a huge shapewear girly, especially for special occasions like a wedding, to wear under a dress, and sometimes they're just so uncomfortable, too tight, they roll down, they roll up, and end up becoming more of a burden than anything else. But I felt so confident wearing Honeylove. It was a totally new experience for me, and now I swear by them. So treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forthegirls. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/forthegirls. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support my show and tell them I sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it. So with that being said too, how you said they kind of like fade, you know, sometimes, at least we think as you get older, you might fade into the background. You have even more of a reason why I think that could have been the case for you, because like you said, you are married to Tommy, who I think would have made it so easy for you to just fade into the background, right? Like you have this really notable husband, but in your case, you're so passionate and you want to, you specifically want to inspire women and be a force of your own. So aside from everything else that we just said about it's never too late and all that, what would be like your main personal why, like your main message and your why for why, what really drives you?
You know, that's a really interesting question. I mean, it's obviously not money that drives me. It's more, I would say it's more passion based, and it's more that like, I have so much more to offer. I think what's interesting, and I was having a conversation about this with somebody, I think the fact that when I was young, I was modeled and I had this label of like a model or Tommy's wife, or, you know, you're pretty, or you're standing on the arm, or you're the wife of, like, that's not, I think people love to put you in like a box, but that's not, you know, what I'm about or what I can do, or I have so much more to me than just that. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what drives me. I think I love kind of not being an underdog, but like being underestimated. I think I've found through my life, I've been put in like a category, particularly when I was younger, I think, of just being like, oh, she's a model or whatever. And I'm like, hello, you know, I'm not. I graduated from college. I have a degree. I have a lot more going on than people have sort of on face value given me. So I think that's what drives me.
That you just reminded me of a friend of mine, her story where she started as a model too. I mean, she's this like glamazon. She's like 6 something, like maybe 6'2". She's tall, she's skinny, she's beautiful, like the ideal model, but she's always had a really good eye for creative direction and whatnot. And so as a model, when she would be on shoots, she would like offer an opinion. And so the people behind the scenes, people behind the scenes were like, whose model is this? Like, we don't have room for this on the set. She ultimately ended up becoming a creative director and opening her own agency and working with like some of the biggest brands, you know, because she is super talented. But it's exactly what you just said. As a model, like, you're just a face and they don't see you for more than that.
And your opinion is not required, and they're not hiring you for that. It's, you know, so like you kind of can get trapped behind that. And the same, I think, with being the wife of somebody. I think, you know, you can get trapped in those situations. So you have to fight your way out of them, and put your stake in the ground and say, no, I'm not that. Mm-hmm. And that's, like I said, that's what really has driven me to just prove that that is not, you know, I'm not that label.
Right, right. All of that is so inspiring, but I think aside from being just a personal inspiration for women, you are clearly a fashion inspiration. You have a really beautiful, timeless, classy style. And I don't know, are you on like TikTok and not any of that? Like, I don't know.
Instagram. I have gone on TikTok. I've done some TikTok. I'm not great at it. Like, I need a lot of support, I think, for it. And then I was like, wait, should I be on TikTok? Are they going to make it illegal? Like,
why? Yeah.
If it's not going to be a thing. So I've kind of like, you know, dipped my toe in it, but I don't.
You don't want to get too invested, because then it might get taken away like a toy, and then you can't play with it anymore. The reason why I ask is because I see so much of, you know, fashion content, I mean, Instagram too, but so much on TikTok, where I do find that, this is going to sound so weird to say, but like a timeless feminine style is actually coming back. I think we, like, society kind of like got away from that for a little while. And it was like, the skimpier, the better, the more trendy, the better. How many things can we add? And now it's more like minimal, more like monochromatic looks, or just timeless looks, you know, rather than going trendy. I see a lot of videos now where everyone's really showcasing capsule collections and a wardrobe that's like evergreen. And so, with all of that being said, my question to you is, what is your take on, you know, timeless fashion? Like, what makes a good wardrobe to you that a woman could never, you know, get sick of and keep really for life?
Well, you know, I have the luxury of being a certain age where I can look back on many decades of fashion. And so I, you know, I've obviously in my 20s dressed, I definitely lean towards more trendy things. And, you know, I have photographs of myself, like with my eyebrows when that whole grunge thing, you know, you're way too young to remember, but like we went through this phase where we plucked our
eyebrows. Oh, no. I was there. Yeah.
And, you know, I look at those pictures and I'm like, oh, you know, or, you know, I just think it's interesting. Like I was looking at pictures of Carolyn Bessette Kennedy. And I thought, you know, that was like this great 90s, just classic style. Like you can never go wrong. When you look back at those photos, it's timeless. Like even now with this whole Palm Royale and things with Cece Guest and those women, they weren't like super trendy or, you know, trying to be ultra sexy. I think it's just a safe, you'll never regret just looking chic and simple. You can always look back and you won't be horrified at the photos. You know, it's safe and it always looks good. So I kind of have found over many decades, that's my safe place where I feel comfortable, where I feel like I look good. You know, I was just recently in Asia with Tommy and I found I was really looking at young people in their 20s and how they were dressing. And I told Tommy, it's really interesting. I found people either were wearing just really baggy, oversized sweats and jeans and like wrinkled shirts. And I went into Dover Street Market and tried to buy something, which I could not find anything for myself. But it's like either this like really baggy look or it's the complete opposite, which is like, you're just showing too much stuff. You know, you don't need to walk around like with everything out and, you know, everything showing like I've got a great body. Okay. That's great. But I didn't see a lot of in between. So I think that's kind of the in between is kind of maybe the sweet spot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that safe zone where I think sometimes, you know, when it comes to certain events or occasions, like maybe you don't want to play it safe. You want to do something loud or whatever the case might be. But for that everyday style, I think it doesn't necessarily, not even that colors matter. It doesn't have to only be neutrals. You could, of course, have bright colors too. But having those pieces that you can pair with each other and like, you know, having the good pair of trousers and the nice, you know, blouse or sweater, whatever, knit. And this way, you know, you're comfortable enough and kind of like recycling pieces so that you're not constantly, because when you do shop trendy, you're constantly having to update your wardrobe and replace your wardrobe. So I feel like that's something that in the past like couple years that I really started to do myself is just like, okay, I have the good pair of white pants, the good pair of black pants. So then you find the pieces with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What would you say, like, if you were to just pick those few pieces for a woman who even just wants that little bit of fashion advice? Because I get a few comments too that they're like, I feel like I have a closet full of things and nothing to wear. What would you say are like those key pieces that you think for everyday styles a woman needs to have in their wardrobe?
I think every woman, I've never seen a woman that looks bad with a great pair of jeans and a great white shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Like can't go wrong with that. Right. So I think every woman needs a great pair of jeans and, you know, jeans kind of trend too. Right. So I think right now, what I'm buying more is the, more high-waisted and then belling at the bottom. Like I like that style, but you can, there's so many different styles of jeans, but whatever you're comfortable in, a great pair of jeans, great white shirt. I think probably, you know, you need like a great blazer. And I like them a little bit oversized because I wear them like during the day. I love to, and even at night, I always have like a blazer covering my shoulders because I'm very sensitive to air conditioning, but it always looks chic. So like a great black blazer, maybe that you can wear from day to night. I love like a long, maybe like a, not a raincoat, like a raincoat, but not
like a trench.
Thank you. I'm thinking more. A great trench coat is always like a great piece to have. Let's see. I think you always need, I always kind of pack a black dress, just a black dress, like for backup, you know, in case you need, because that, you know, if you've got a great black dress that you love. And I mean, that's like core.
Yeah, that's
how
perfect.
Far you want me to go with
that. No, that's perfect. That's perfect. I love that you mentioned the denim, because that's actually my next question for you, because you are coming out with a denim collection this fall, correct?
Yes. Denim also, it's not just denim. It's just like separates, but including denim.
Right. And I, when I was reading about that, I saw, you know, you, whether you made a quote or something that they had said in regards to you being involved in the entirety of it from start to finish, from design to everything else. So is that typically how you get to operate your businesses? Is this maybe something different than your namesake brand or from Judith Lieber? Like, how is this
very? I'm very involved in everything because, you know, it has my name on it. And like I said, I'm very passionate about it. So I have to have my hands on it. I want to have my hands on it. That's the whole purpose of it. So it's been really fun. And I'm very proud of it. I'm very excited for the apparel to launch in the fall. It's great because I don't call it quiet luxury. I prefer to call it effortless elegance.
Ooh.
Because it's just like, you know, it should be effortless. It doesn't have to be a chore, but you know, women want to look styled and look good and be comfortable. That's all.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
I do find that, especially as you get older, that comfort is the priority, because I look back, I mean, whether it's like the early 20s or like the college age, I don't know how I was wearing like dresses this big. My heels were longer than my dress was. I don't know how I went out like that, because now, I mean, I struggle to even wear heels. I'm like all about kitten heels these days. Like, I love a nice little, that we could add that to the capsule collection. I think comfort is so important. And I think that that's something that's really going to show through this, you know, apparel collection as well. So now, each of your brands, just to clarify, with your namesake brand, with this one, each one offers different things, right? Because the Dio Kleppo brand is more like accessories and shoes and bag, right? Am I right there?
Yeah. Well, so it's, you know, they're different labels and they're different distributions. So I have Dio by Dio Kleppo, which is the apparel line.
Okay.
And then I have Dio Kleppo, which is the shoe line. And then I'm going to be having another line called Mrs. H that will be launching on QVC. And so, but it's all me. And then I'm creative director for Judith Lieber, which is a brand that's been around for 65 years, but I oversee the direction of that brand. So it's all different, but I have my hands on it all.
Yeah. I also love when it came to those brands, when I was really like looking into Dio and then Dio Kleppo, is that you really put the audience first when it comes to wanting to offer luxury. Like you just said, that quiet luxury or effortless elegance, yeah. But at the same time, at an affordable price point, which is not something that we really see often. And every woman wants high quality and luxury, but can't necessarily always afford it. So how did you manage to merge that? And how did you make that a priority?
Well, look, I mean, I think I can afford things, but sometimes it's not even a question of being able to afford it or not. It's just like, why? Why should I spend thousands of dollars on something where I can not spend it and have the same look? So I just think everybody deserves to look good, to feel good, and, you know, feel confident and empowered. And that's another, you know, another reason why I do what I do. I think, you know, the fashion industry, the beauty industry, we're there to serve and make women feel and look great. And when they do, they're confident and they portray, you know, they approach things in a different way. When you feel good about yourself and you feel confident, you have a whole different aura and you approach things in a whole different way, you know? And so that's kind of what, you know, I want to offer and for everybody, not just for, you know, wealthy people or, you know, people that want to spend thousands of dollars. I will wear Zara and people are like, oh, is that Valentino? You know, is that yeah. Valentino? I'm like, no, it's Zara. You know, like, really, is that Balmain? No, it's Zara. Like I mix high and low all the time. I can afford to buy whatever, but it's not, you know, my point is you don't need to spend thousands of dollars on an outfit to look great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so true. On that order, I was really looking into everything and I was saying, wow, like, okay, you give back and certainly not just by, like we said, a price point. You give back by, like I mentioned in the beginning, you're involved in organizations and charities and philanthropy, more specifically. We mentioned that you're a mom. Three of your children are on the autism spectrum. And you're also a huge advocate for several autism organizations. I personally, and I know that you also work with many other organizations as well, but I personally saw that and like took that, you know, to heart because that's relevant in my family as well. Like I watch my aunt be a full-time caregiver of my cousin. And I know that like having, you know, special needs and all children with all different people, not necessarily just children, people with all different ends of the spectrum. It's a full-time job, you know, to take care of in some cases, maybe not for everybody, but for some. Firstly, I want to hear a little bit more about your story in general and just hear more about your children and then how you really took that and was able to give back and start to prioritize these like charities.
So as you said, you know, we have three kids. So my firstborn son was diagnosed and Tommy's youngest daughter was diagnosed. And in fact, Tommy and I really sort of bonded and I think became close initially when we met over the fact that we each understood each other because we each had a child with special needs. Mm-hmm. And then we got together, married, I became pregnant. And then Sebastian was diagnosed, which was really a shock because I thought, oh no, we've paid our karma on that. That won't happen again. And he was diagnosed when he was 2. And luckily, it had not been our first time at the rodeo for either one of us. So Sebastian had the benefit of our experience. And we were on it so early with Sebastian that today he's really, you know, thriving. He goes to a regular school. He does have some support, but I think the biggest thing with, you know, people that are dealing with autism in their families, I would say is that you need support. No one can do this on their own. Certainly, Tommy and I have a lot of help. We're lucky enough to have the resources to get the help, but there's so many other families that don't. And so that's why it's important that, you know, we're involved in, you know, these charities that help other people. We're lucky that we can help ourselves, but I think that, I mean, this is a problem of, you know, epidemic proportions that a lot of people don't like to talk about. And it's really imperative that the children get support, that the parents of these children get support. And that's why we do what we do, because I've understood through three children that you cannot manage this by yourself. You need to have a team of people and, you know, whatever, like special schools or special shadows, or, you know, it cannot be done alone. I know that.
Yeah. And it's not easy. Like you said, like, not everybody has, whether it's the resources or sometimes even the family members, you know, to help out. Sometimes people really don't have that. So at that point, it's like, what do you do, you know? And so it is nice. It's amazing, beyond nice, to know and to hear that, like, you know, there are things like this out there that exist that could potentially help someone or bring somebody hope or whatever it might look like for them. And it is, you know, it's not even easy to get like government help, you know, that's the truth is, you know, it's not.
It is really not. And, you know, I know many like heartbreaking stories of single moms that are struggling and don't have any resources and they're trying. And, you know, I would just say, don't give up, get online and just try to search out whatever help and organizations. And sometimes through organizations, those organizations can lead you to local people or places, you know, that can help them. But, you know, you have to be, you know, just steadfast and searching out. Like, it's not, oh, here, you have a child with autism, here, let us help you. It's not right. Like that. They make you really work to find the help. It's really not easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that in itself, on top of everything else, that in itself, I would imagine, is a huge stress load. On top of everything that you already have to deal with on a daily basis, having to then, like, whatever the case might be, whatever the trials are, to prove yourself, to fight for these things, that on top of it, I think might make even some people just give up. You know?
I don't think that's an option. I mean, when it's your child, and certainly, you know, most moms that I know, like, it's just not an option. Yeah. You can never give up. Never. Yeah. And I've seen a lot of moms that just are like superheroes and what they go through and how they help their kids, and it can be done. But, you know, like anything else, it's not easy. You have to, you know, like I said, you have to really, you know, be steadfast in searching out and seeking and finding it. And if you do that, eventually, you know, you're going to find what you need. I believe that. I do think that there's certain, like, you could go to different organizations online that can help you. You'll find somebody that will lead you and find you
in the right direction.
In the right direction. You just have to be like brutal and stay on it. Stay on it.
Yeah. Don't take no for an answer.
Don't take no for an answer, and just keep going.
Yeah. I think it was like I don't know if it was a Kris Jenner quote or if it was just somehow related to her, but when she's like, if someone's telling you no, you're just asking the wrong person. And that always just like stuck with me. Like, just ask somebody else.
Yeah. I love me a Kris Jenner quote, but she's absolutely right. And, you know, she's pounded the pavement for many, many years, and she, you know, her success is proof.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Okay, so then you basically answered all my next questions within everything that you just said there, which was so beautiful. I love that. So what would be a final note that you would want to leave everyone with, whether it's like just like a mindset tip, a personal development practice that you do, or something that mantras that bring you peace, whatever it might be, or just words of wisdom that you would want to share with anyone listening?
Well, I think kind of we ended on like never give up. I think that's a good one. But I think one thing is that never underestimate your value. I think that's a really good one. I mean, I feel like that's guided me a lot in my life. Two things. One would be to never, you know, underestimate my value and know my value and know my worth. And advocate that and be confident in that. Because if you believe it, other people will believe it. They'll see it in you and they will believe in you. And, you know, the other one for me, especially I think when I was younger and growing up and, you know, I was a model in that whole kind of before the Me Too thing. And I always, you know, held steadfast in my moral compass. And I was often, you know, many people attempted to, let's say, lead me astray on a path that was, you know, in my gut, I knew was not the right thing to do. And it might have seemed like, oh, well, they're doing it and that's the way that they're going to do it and they're going to get ahead. But I knew in my gut, like, I think you have to listen to your own gut and your moral compass and the people that you hang around with, like the group that you hang around with is what, you know, you will ultimately become. So I would say choose your friends and the people that you surround yourself with wisely. Mm-hmm. I always try to, and even to this day, I always try to have friends that are smarter than me or, you know, that I think I can learn something from. I mean, not all of them, but I'm just saying that I think that your friends and people that you surround yourself with are very, very important, especially at a younger age.
So yeah.
In the back of your mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love all of that. Now, where can the girls find you and all of your brands and everything that you have to offer? How can they find you online?
So online, I have my at Mrs. Hilfiger. I'm on Instagram. I have at diocleppo.com is my website. And we'll be launching. I'm also, you know, we carry the shoes at Saks.com, at Neiman's.com, Nordstrom's. And we will be launching, I think the apparel will be launching in Belk stores and online. But, you know, at Mrs. Hilfiger on Instagram is where I kind of can lead everybody. And diocleppo.com are the
name. Don't look on TikTok, guys. She will not be there.
Very little.
Thank you so much, Dee. I love all of your insight and everything you had to share. It was amazing.
It was a pleasure.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.